2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to continue our series tonight on My New Life, and we're going to look at this passage once again tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I would ask you to remember to pray for the family of the Weinbrenner family, and then their funeral, Miss Nancy Weinbrenner, her funeral will be tomorrow there at the funeral home, and visitations at 10 a.m. And then funeral at 11. And so if you do pray for that family, and then also the family of Miss Helen Colliver, she passed away this past Sunday, and they're going to have the funeral here at the church, and that's going to be visitations from 10 to noon on Saturday, and then a 12 o'clock noon funeral here at the church. And so if you would pray for both of those families. Miss Helen was a member here for a number of years and ran a bus route, taught Sunday school. And so I know maybe many of you don't remember her. It would be good for us to support that family. And so if you do, if you're free on Saturday, just as a church family, we ought to support them and let them know that we did love and appreciate her service here for all those years. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, let's look at verse number 11 together tonight. And we'll read down through verse number 21. The Bible says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be of sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God in him." Our text tonight and for this series is verse 17, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All passed away, behold, all things are become new." Our series, as we've talked about the last several weeks, is My New Life, and that the goal is to get folks from salvation to growing in their Christian life. Many people stay at salvation, and they're never discipled into the deeper things of the Word of God. Milk is good for a time, but in time, you ought to want deeper things. And part of that is our lack of teaching people. And so we started with salvation, we went to assurance, and last week we dealt with baptism, and tonight we're going to look at the subject of church membership, and specifically deal with finding our fellowship in the faith. It's important that we be a part of a church, and it's important to be a part of a good church and the right church. And the church is very serious to the Lord. He died for it. And so I want to talk about the church tonight. And so let's pray, and then we'll get right into the message. Our Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to preach your book. God, I sure do appreciate it. And Lord, I love your word. I thank you for, God, your church. Lord, I thank you for dying for the church. Thank you for dying for me. And Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight as we open your book and we study, God, about your church, Lord, I pray that you would please open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, I pray that you would give us your spirit, your power to be able to understand your book. God, if we don't have it, we can't understand it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would please help us, God, to set aside this time now, Lord, and focus in on your scriptures and, God, your word, so that we can learn, Lord, about your church and about the importance of church membership and, God, our responsibilities because of it. And, Lord, I pray that you would bless the message. Please fill me with your power. I need your touch. Lord, I need liberty. And Lord, I pray that you would please help me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The work of the Lord is accomplished on planet Earth through the ministry of the local church. There are groups out there that feel as if they can have church on their own and they feel as if they can do church in their home or they can do church on their boat or in their deer stand or on the golf course. And that's just not what God ordained. He ordained the local New Testament church. If you and I want to be a part of the business of Christ, then we must yoke up or join ourselves in the membership of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Spirit-filled New Testament church. It's very important. Placing your membership, training your family with a sound and solid church is vital for your home, but it's also vital for your heart. There's much to be said about churches today. There's many different types of flavors. There's many different sizes. There's many different styles. There's different structures. There are different sizes of churches and buildings and just so many different. I mean, you got the vineyard, you got the vine, you've got the grapes. I mean, you name it, you can find it when it comes to flavors of churches. But there is a specific type of church that God wants His people to be a part of. You know, there's a question that when someone goes looking for a church, they may ask several questions. And I jotted down a few that people should ask, okay? A lot of times these are not necessarily what people do ask, but these are questions people should ask. First of all would be, does this place honor Christ? That's a reasonable question, isn't it? Does this place bring honor and glory to Christ? The last several weeks, you've heard me say this at most services, we are here for one purpose, and that is to lift high the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love spending time with you, church, but we've come for one purpose, and that is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And that is a good, reasonable question to ask. Does the church adhere to Bible doctrines? Doctrine is truth. And so that's a good question to ask. There's important Bible doctrines that are important to follow if you're going to be a part of a local church. The virgin birth is necessary. It's important. The deity of Christ. You see, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, the deity of Christ is very important. The inspiration of the Scripture is very important. We believe that all Scripture is inspired. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's very important that we believe, and you are a part of a church that believes all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And not just portions of Scripture, or not just what we'd like to know comes from God, but all Scripture. God breathed. That's what inspiration means, and that's very important to be a part of. It's important that a church practices and preaches salvation by grace through faith and nothing else. We've already talked about that, that there's not many roads to heaven. We're not all God's children, but there is one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created unto God, unto Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. A church ought to preach and practice believers' baptism. We talked about that last week and exactly what that means to be baptized. And those are important questions to ask. Does the pastor, this is another good question, does the pastor preach sermons from the Word of God? Hey, that's a good question to ask, ain't it? It's amazing the mess that gets preached behind pulpits. And I'm one of them. I'm a preacher. But it's like they can't find anything to preach. They'll get from the news, they'll get it from social media, they'll get it from wherever. But God's given us 66 books, His book, and it's not my opinion, it's the Word of God. That's what's supposed to be preached. And when we have a problem with that, that's why I love expository preaching. Expository preaching keeps the preacher safe, because you're preaching the book. And the truth divides, it always does. Does the pastor preach the gospel of Jesus and proclaim the love of Christ to all men? That's a good question to ask. Does the music exalt and glorify God? That's important, the music. It's amazing what that music can get slipped into churches through a back door. One thing that I have done, I've practiced this for years, when music, obviously Brother Matt approves all of our music here, and he aligns with what we believe, obviously. But it's easy for even good songs that are not originated right to get brought into a church. Well, first thing you ought to do, if you find a song that, man, that just really speaks to you, you ought to YouTube it. Find out who wrote it. Chances are it's not a person that you would want your kids to listen to. So it's important to keep the music right. It's another question to ask, is the atmosphere spiritual and friendly? I don't know why you'd want to be a part of a church where nobody gets along. That's silly, isn't it? Is it clearly distinct from the atmosphere of the world? Not looking for a nightclub. We like bright lights. We like the lights to be on. We pay the power bill around here. We like to let everybody know we do. We don't want to give the appearance. We don't need smoke. We don't need, well, maybe we need some smoke, but some days maybe it'll work. Listen. I shouldn't have said that. Cut that. Listen, there's nobody that probably dislikes wearing ties more than me, but the preacher ought to look like a preacher. He ought to look like a man of God. And whenever I stand behind this pulpit, I can promise you that this, I want to look like $1 million. Now, I'm not worth $1 million, but I want to look like it. And by the time I get out of this pulpit, I'd like to just a guy on the street because I've preached the word of God without fear or favor of man. You see, we want to present ourselves to honor Christ. The atmosphere of our church ought to be that, not an appearance of the world. There's plenty of those flavors out there. People are looking for a real church. Another question, do the people honor God with their lives and their attitudes and their lips? That's a good question. Does the youth program have standards that are obtained by the Bible? A lot of times that gets overlooked. Teenagers can just run whatever they want to do, but I believe that teenagers love hard preaching. They do it. They do. I love preaching to teenagers because they unlike adults, they're going to either not accept it and just totally reject it, or they're going to accept it and get all in. That's what I found out over the years preaching to teenagers. I love preaching to them. There's none of this halfway, well, yeah, okay, no, yes or no. Just give me black or white. That's good. Do the people exhibit the love and warmth of Christ in their fellowship? And does the church obey the Great Commission by sending out missionaries and reaching out into their community? Those are good, reasonable questions to ask about a church. I'm thankful that I believe First Baptist Church exhibits all of those. Are we perfect in all of those? No, not at all. But we're made up of a group of imperfect people. We're not perfect. We must remember we're not searching for a coffee shop. Although I'm not against coffee shop. Okay, I like the coffee downstairs. I like Coffee Corner. Okay, Miss Leah really likes Coffee Corner. But we're not looking for a coffee shop. We're not looking for a nightclub. We're not looking for the songs that sound like the world's music. We have been called out from all of the world's systems. We want to look like a church, and we want to be a church that honors Christ. Right. And all that it does, and all that it says. And we want to be a place that followers of Christ, believers in Christ, can come and they know that the book will be preached. Listen, there's no perfect church, as I've said, because it's made up of imperfect people. However, God ordained the local church. And it's very dear to Him. And our church ought to not be influenced by trending styles. It ought to not be influenced by methods. It ought to not be influenced by different practices of man. We are the church. The church is not this building, although we try to make this building as nice as it can possibly be. But we are the church. It's made up of people. And when one thing that we should ask all of ourselves is we should consider, how can I be the best church member that I can be, not what can this church offer me? That's the question that's asked most times. What does your church have to offer my family? And I get what they're saying. I get what they're saying. But ultimately, we are the church, and the church is only going to be as good as we make it. Right. If nobody wants to be involved, we're going to have a church of people not involved. If nobody wants to be faithful and come to church, we're going to be a church that's got a lot of empty pews. It's what we make it. And so we should ask the question of, how can I be the best church member, not what this church can offer me? So let me give you 2 points. That's all I got. Number one, the importance of the local church. The importance of the local church. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ loves the church and He died for it. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The local church is the instrument in the hand of God to fulfill the Great Commission. It was conceived with Jesus and his disciples, and it was energized on the day of Pentecost, whenever Peter preached and thousands got saved and baptized. From that point on, God used the church to preach the gospel and to baptize believers and to teach and to train its members to repeat the process. That's all we're doing tonight, is we're just repeating the process of Jesus and his disciples. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The people are the body of the church. And its purpose is to bring all people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many people contend that church members are not necessary today. They feel as if they can worship God wherever they want to. But to be honest with you, that can't be further from the truth. You see, God wants us, Jesus died for the church. And if you were to think about it in this aspect, suppose that a child never wanted to be around his parents or ever wanted to be around his siblings. He kind of isolated himself all by himself. It wouldn't be very long before that child's development began to be hindered. Am I right? Be hindered. He would struggle in just simple, normal activities because he doesn't have the mama and the daddy and the siblings and the social interaction that he's supposed to have. And the same goes for the child of God if he or she is not involved with a local, independent, fundamental, my belief, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. You see, the family of God, their growth will be stunted, their success will be limited, because God's Word instructs us to meet at a local church and unite with believers of the same mind and of the same faith. There are people today that speak of a universal church. And although I think I get what they're talking about, but anywhere in Scripture you find Jesus using a local assembly in local towns, fulfilling His work of preaching the gospel to the lost and dying men. In the book of Acts, the disciples met on the Lord's Day. That's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. They brought their first fruits to the storehouse. So they brought an offering to the Lord. They sang hymns together and they heard the preaching of God's Word from God's man. And many times they would wait around for an epistle or a letter to be sent to that church, and it would be read to the congregation. As the church grew, missionaries would be sent out and they would start other churches. And the power of multiplication was seen as churches in Galatia and Ephesus and Rome and Corinth and Antioch and Philippi and many other regions were started by the disciples. Each church was independent from a convention or from an association. They were local assemblies that did the work of the Lord in that particular region. They are what we try to imitate or replicate, if you will, at First Baptist Church. We must realize that God wants His believers. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, not less, but more as you see the day approaching. When there's churches today that are wanting less of church. And those preachers, man, they got it easy street. One message a week, come on. That ain't hard. But God says so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so I believe we need more and more and more church, not less. And to be honest with you, someone that gets in, they want more and more. They want it more. Man, they find reasons to listen to more preaching. I love it when somebody asks me to send them links to preaching. Brother Laney's been here lately sending me links to preaching, and I try to listen to every one of those. In mowing season, I get a lot of preaching in because put the earbuds in and listen to it and go. I love to listen to preaching. And somebody that wants to be in the church, they want more of it. And so much the more. You see, during these days, God has given us the light of the local church. We're commanded to assemble ourselves together and exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. God wants His children to have a place to go to unite with His brothers and His sisters in faith. So it's important. The church is important. Point number one. Number two, notice the involvement of the local church. This last point, number two, the involvement of the local church. God wants us to be a part of a local church, but He also wants you and your family to be involved in a local church. You see, it's one thing to be to know it's important. It's another thing to be involved. It's one thing to be here, but it's another thing to be involved. You see, becoming actually involved with the local assembly not only gives you a support. I mean, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. Man, somebody wants to sing that song. I won't sing it. But we are. We are. We're family. And when we serve together, when we're involved with each other, man, the work gets accomplished. But you know what happens every once in a while? Jacob does something to make me mad. And you know what I do? I let him know about it. Do I not? I let him know about it. And he does me. That's what family does. That's what family does. You know why? Because I got to meet with him at Thanksgiving sometime. I got to go to Christmas with him every once in a while. Every once in a while, he shows up at my house for just no reason. And so I got to have something to do with him. So I got to make it right. We're family. And when it comes to being involved with the local church, there's four areas to think about. Now, I didn't tell you about these. I only got 2 points, but I got 4 subpoints here. Number one, we need to be involved through fellowship. Fellowship. You see, many suggest they can worship God just as easy at their home. And I get what they're saying, but the truth is, people can worship God at anywhere. They can worship God at any time. However, attending church services gives you the opportunity for fellowship. As I said, Facebook has this thing where they send you memories. And it's been sending me memories from 3 years ago of COVID. And I don't know if any of you have had those memories pop up, but where we posted pictures or we posted the live stream, I remember that very clearly. We had to scramble to get the live stream in order. We had to scramble to get the online giving in place. And all of that was a scramble. We had all the equipment, but we didn't know how to work any of it. And so we had to get all of that in order. And I remember I watched one of our live streams just the other day from that time, and I remember seeing a lot of your comments of saying, man, I can't wait to get back in church. Can't wait to sit back in those pews. Can't wait to use that psalm book. Can't wait to fellowship with one another. That's 3 years ago. And obviously, it's a great crowd here tonight, but have we forgotten? Man, fellowship, it's important. It's so vitally important. We can have church at our home. I can live stream is a blessing, but it's not the same. You can't fellowship. Fellowship, and the common word fellowship in the Bible, often it means this, to have something in common. You see, like-minded. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And we're instructed to come together as believers and share those commonalities in the love and joy of Jesus Christ. There's something you'll find at church that you can't find anywhere else. There's one thing. You can't find in the secular world, and that is this. It's the unity and the harmony of being a part of the body of Christ. Listen, church, unity is so vitally important. So vitally important. It's worth fighting for. Unity. The devil wants nothing more than he to be mad at her. Her to be mad at her. You to be mad at me. And little conversation started to where you try to turn each other. That's the author of confusion. That's the devil. And I'll fight for unity. I'll die for unity. Church, you better beware of those that try to run the preacher down. The preacher's never perfect. But neither are you. You better be careful of those that run the preacher down. You better beware of those that try to find problems with the leadership of the church. You better beware of those who always try to suggest something different than what the Bible says. You better beware of those who disagree with the teaching and preaching that goes behind this pulpit and in your Sunday school class. The Bible says in Psalm 133:1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Brother S.M. Davis preached a message years ago on the preciousness of unity. It's precious. And when you lose it, it's hard to get it back. And church, you have my promise. If God sees fit for me to be your next pastor, I'll fight for unity. I'll fight for it. I don't care who it makes mad. I don't care who it upsets. I will fight to protect the unity of First Baptist Church. If I hear of discord being sown, I'll deal with it. Because it's to protect the sheep. The Bible is very clear at Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And now more than ever, we need a church that is unified. You better not entertain scoffers. Don't entertain those who like to run the church down. And if they feel comfortable talking to you, you might want to say, why? Why do you feel comfortable sharing that with me? That's a problem. Let me say this. There's no pride in any of this statement. Don't mess with God's church. And don't mess with God's man. If you do, mark it down. God will mess with you. I can take you to families that's tried to mess with this church over the years. It's messed with God's man over the years. And their family's a mess. Listen, we may come from different races, different backgrounds, different cultures, economies, locations, but there's something quite exciting and amazing when we can come together as God's people for one purpose, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, church live stream, religious broadcasts, Christian literature, none of that can replace the intimacy we experience when we come together in unity to worship the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Aren't you thankful for that? Listen, we come to church when we ought to be involved through fellowship. Number two, we ought to be involved through finances. Through finances. Becoming involved with the local church also means supporting the ministry of that local church through financial giving. I have no fear of preaching on giving, okay? I was taught this as a very young child. Biblical giving has blessed my life. I am an example of blessings of God because I learned to just simply be faithful in giving. A tithe literally means a tenth or 10%. It was an Old Testament law in which Israel tithed on the Lord from their increase and what God gave them through offerings and land and money. The Bible says in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there may be not room enough to receive it. Some are under the thought that we don't have to tithe because it's an Old Testament law, but that's the furthest from the truth as well. Because the Bible carries over into the New Testament. In the New Testament, believers brought their offering on the first day of the week. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16:1, it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. 9:6-8 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he prospereth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all ground grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So here's the truth that we learned about those two verses about giving. We learn, and this is straight from the Word of God, we learn collections are to be taken every week on the first, and we do that. We do it every service, okay? And we're going to take an offering every service. Everyone is to give when the collection's taken. That's what the Bible says, okay? Now I get it. You give as the Lord prospers you, but the Bible says everyone give, okay, when the collection's taken. The amount you give is in relation to how much God has given you. That's good. The amount you sow or give determines the amount you reap or receive. Giving is to be done from the heart. We learned that God loves a cheerful giver more than He loves a cheerful gift. And God prospers you in the necessities of life when you purpose to give to His work. You ever have a choice between giving or paying that bill? The answer is always to give. The answer is always to give. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Try God. He said that I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to contain it. And so if it's a choice ever laid down in your life, I'm just asking you to try Him. And then let me know you're trying Him, and I'm going to make sure He comes through for you, okay? Because I know what it means. It's the truth that God will bless that. He will bless that. Giving is not just about financially supporting the local church, although it does. But it's about trusting God to provide for your life. And I believe sometimes the reason that some people that get this down are those that actually had to try God. And they can point in their life and say, I know He came through on that one. I know He came through on that one. You may feel as if I can't afford to give. Can I say you can't afford not to give? I don't like changing flat tires. But if you decide to skip, I guarantee you, chances are you're going to have a nail. Come on, somebody witness, somebody telling me, yeah. It's happened. Listen, we have an awesome opportunity and responsibility to commit our resources to the work of God's kingdom. If you're not tithing or giving an offering, let me just say this. Try it for 30 days. Just try it. I'm not going to say we'll give it back. Some preachers say that. But try it. Try it for 30 days. I guarantee you won't stop. Let me give you the next two real quick. We'll go brief. We ought to be involved in our finances. We ought to be involved in our fellowship. We ought to be involved in our faithfulness. Listen, people are faithful. They are. They may not be faithful to God, but they're faithful to what they love. There's no problem for a fella that enjoys college football to get ready for the game on Saturday morning in his recliner, ready for the day. People that have a job and they go to work, they're faithful to that week in, week out. The highway is busy in the morning getting to their place of employment. People that enjoy washing their cars are faithful to do that, even if you know it's going to rain. People that like cutting the grass, they do it for fun, and they just get out there and ride, and amen, Brother Randy, we just enjoy cutting the grass. We're faithful to those things. People that enjoy jogging, there's people out there that does, and they're faithful to it. People are faithful to what they love, and there's nothing wrong with being faithful to those things. However, we should be as committed, now we should actually be more committed to the local church. Not only are we to join a local church and tithe to a local church, we are to be committed faithfully to a local church. We ought to make church attendance a priority. It ought to not just be something we take flippantly. Your kids ought to know that Sunday is the Lord's day. Listen, I'm all for people getting away, getting out of town. I plan too soon. But you ought to be in church. It's important. It's important. Because ultimately what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. And if church attendance is flippant to you, listen, if you're traveling, you ought to find a way to get in church. It's just important. It's important. You ought to find it a priority to be in Sunday school each Sunday. Sunday school is important. God blesses Sunday school. You ought to determine that Sunday is the Lord's day and you ought to commit that day to Him. Ought it not be something you just come to in the morning and then cut the whole day less you're free for the rest of the day? It ought to be, it's the Lord's day. You ought to attend a midweek service, and I know who I'm preaching to. You ought to get involved with various ministries of the church. You realize if we are not a part of the choir, we have no choir. Simple as that. So you'll be a part of it. If you're not a part of the nursery, we don't have a nursery. And thank God for the nursery. If you're not a part of the bus ministry, we don't have a bus ministry. If you're not a part of the nursing home ministry, needed ministry, very needed ministry, we don't have one if we don't do it together. You ought to find an area of ministry and make it your ministry. You ought to stay committed to that. And say, man, this is my area of service, and I'm going to be found faithful in my area of service. You ought to cheerfully to the work of the ministry. You ought to invite others to church as often as you can. You ought to stay connected with its members on a weekly basis. You ought to check in on one another. See how you're doing. We ought to participate in church functions and fellowships. We don't just have them for our health, okay? They're good to have fellowships and things. If we're faithful in the small things, God will reward us and give us more opportunities to serve Him in larger things. Let me give you the last thing. Involved with your faithfulness, involved with finances, involved with your fellowship, the last thing is you ought to be involved with your family. One of the greatest privileges we have as believers is the opportunity to worship our Lord as a family. God created the home. He ordained the home before He constituted the church. But the two entities go hand in hand. One has said that the family who stays together also prays together. Parents, if all your kids hear at home is how bad the preacher is and how difficult it is to go to church, you're planting seeds in your children's heart that will come up. If church is not a big deal to you, your children will follow. I'd be very careful and not always... I'd be very careful to commit to serve the Lord with your family. You ought to find an area of service with your family. It's a wonderful privilege to be a part of a local New Testament church. God ordained it. It's special to Him. He died for it. We ought to treat it very carefully. We ought to love it. But we ought to be very careful of how we talk about it. The church is like the hub of the bicycle wheel. Every spoke that comes out of that wheel revolves around the hub. The hub is the church. And every spoke of your life ought to revolve around that. You say, well, I don't know if I just agree with that. It was a big deal to God. It ought to be a big deal to us. Let's work to build our church. Let's love our church. Let's protect our church from wolves in sheep's clothing. The local church. Church membership. I'm thankful that I'm a part of a local, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Spirit-filled Baptist church. I like to call it a Big B Baptist. We're not going to apologize for who we are. It's very clear on the sign who we are. And if you're looking for anything different, then you'll just have to go somewhere else. Because that's who we are. 184 years, we've been faithful to that. And my plan is to carry it on. With every head bowed, every eye closed, thank you for listening tonight.